Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on bbsradio.com. Please visit our websites, Agenda 21 Today, PanhandlePatriots.com, KarenShone.com, and AmericaIsMyName.org. Folks, I know it is Thanksgiving Eve, and I know that everybody is salivating at the thought of that wonderful turkey. But man, do we have a great show for you today. So put the pots on simmer, turn up the radio, and listen, because this is going to be fantastic. We're going to get a huge education on what is driving the train behind what's going on in our great country and in the world. I'm very happy to have with me this evening my co-host, John Estabrooks. Hello, John.
Well, hello, Karen, and I'm certainly glad to be with you, and a happy and blessed Thanksgiving to all our listeners.
Yes, and we are very happy to have with us our guest, Patrick Wood, who is the author of Technocracy Rising, and of a fabulous website called technocracy.news. Now, .news is a new extension, so yes, it is .news, and it doesn't have .com or net or anything else. Please go and visit Patrick's website and learn about technocracy. And contrary to popular belief, I thought originally that technocracy was brand new, just begun maybe about 30 years ago, and it was the idea that machines were going to inherit and control the planet. And then I started reading Patrick's work. Boy, what an education I got. So, Patrick, thank you so much for joining John and myself this evening.
Hi, Karen. I'm excited to be here.
We are so happy to have you. And I know the time is short and we want to get in as much as possible. So could you please explain a bit about technocracy and its roots so that our listeners are not like Karen, who think this is something that popped up yesterday?
Sure. Technocracy with a small t is found in Webster's dictionary. It really just means government by technicians or management of society by technical experts. And that word is used in different places around the world, I suppose. But technocracy with a capital T was a movement back in the 1930s that proposed a replacement economic system for capitalism and for enterprise that would be based on energy distribution and consumption, and would be run by engineers, scientists, and technicians. That's in its simplest form, or simplest definition. There was a definition in 1938 given by the Technocrat magazine that gives this explanation for technocracy. It says, and this is a direct quote, "Technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population," close quote. That's it in a nutshell.
Woof.
Wow.
Woof. So essentially what is going to happen is our movements are monitored, and if they don't fit in a model, then our behavior gets altered so that we can fit in the model of which they decide what we want and what we should have?
That's about right. The early technocrats had the same goals as the modern-day technocrats that are pushing things like climate change, sustainable development, green economy, smart grid, and so on. Their goal was to produce or take control over all the production and all the consumption of the population. They wanted to engineer society according to the scientific method. And they felt that they could do that. I think it was a false assumption, but they felt like they could somehow do that. And that's what they proposed, that they could do away with politicians, they could do away with any democratic process or any concept of a republic, and simply allow the engineers and scientists to say what would happen in society, just kind of like a scientific dictatorship, if you will. And that obviously is antithetical to the American experiment.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. So somebody dreams up, or these scientists dream up what a perfect day should be in the life of Karen Schoen, and they decide from when I get up in the morning till when I go to bed at night exactly what I should be doing, eating, sleeping, etc.
That's exactly right. When they say that technocracy is the science of social engineering, you have to question first, what does social engineering mean? And you just hit the nail on the head. It means telling you or corralling you into making choices that where you really don't have a choice. And, you know, I kind of look at it, I grew up in an agricultural community, I kind of look at it like a big feedlot where, you know, you have 50,000 head of cattle and they're trying to maximize the weight gain, and they have scientific formulas for creating the feed and for feeding the cattle and weighing the cattle and inoculating the cattle and moving them from pen to pen, et cetera. And they micromanage every last little detail of that feedlot. Now, essentially, this is how these people viewed all of society. It was just an engineering project. Just an engineering project.
Okay, well...
Well, so in today's, you know, for our listeners to have a clear understanding of where you see this, Patrick, some of the programs, the implementation of a smart grid, to where your home is actually, you know, they have the ability to regulate and control the use of appliances, air conditioning, and energy distribution. Is that who are these folks, Patrick? I guess would be the biggest thing that we should make ourselves aware of, that are advancing, you know, cap and trade legislation. Sounds like it would fit into this same, you know, technocrats design.
You bet. Back in the 1930s, with the original technocracy movement, it's important to note that they had no institutional support outside of some support originally from Columbia University. But there was no Rockefellers, there was no Mellons, there was no Carnegies, and so on, no Fords around to give them bucketfuls of money. And as such, they really didn't get traction back in those days. But they were associated with Columbia University for a time. That gave them a certain amount of prestige. But technocracy was reborn around 1970 when Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book called Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. He was just by chance a professor of political science at Columbia University. You make a connection there. I think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
And He wrote this book, and it was picked up by David Rockefeller, who had the Rockefeller family had a connection with Columbia for decades. And Rockefeller saw an opportunity to capitalize on technocracy in a modern context. That's what led them, in my opinion, to create the Trilateral Commission in 1973. It was an action committee, an action plan, to create a new international economic order. And that phrase was all over their literature in the early days. It still is to some extent today, but they wanted to create a new international economic order. And looking back historically, there's only been one economic system in history that was ever defined to replace capitalism and free enterprise, and that was technocracy. And so looking back between 1973 and today, and I explained this very carefully in my book, you know, step by step, it was members of the Trilateral Commission itself who have promoted technocracy in the modern context today. That would include the United Nations pushing climate change, cap and trade, sustainable development, and all those other things, green economy, all those things surrounding it. All these things came as policies originally from members of the Trilateral Commission in the early days. and they were often found to be the implementers of these things since then. So I like to say that, in one sense, they stand guilty before the evidence that they have been behind this. But now it's grown beyond just them. When they gave it to the United Nations for implementation, the United Nations has taken it to every corner, nook, and cranny of the planet. And now we see things like this big Paris, the big climate change summit that's going to take place in Paris in a few days.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty crazy. But this is how it started. This is where it came from. And this is what it's all about today. And while the United Nations is very gushy about, well, we're going to solve poverty, we're going to have education for all, lifelong opportunities, we're going to have jobs for everyone, jobs with dignity, they say.
Yeah.
But when you get down into the fine print of it, you find out that what they want to do with sustainable development is they want to take over 100% of the means of production and 100% of the means of consumption. This has never happened in the history of the world, you understand. But
right.
They want everything. They want all control over the economic system on a global basis.
So
it's kind of ironic, though. These same people are capitalists, huh?
Well, you know, it is. They have made their trillions on capitalism and, to some extent, free enterprise as well. They're closely related, but as we all know, capitalism has run amok at the top with crony capitalism and other, you know, fascism and so on, other corruptions of capitalism. But they have made their money this way. But you see, the one thing they could not do with all the money in the world, they could not get control of all the resources of the world with mere money. It just wouldn't work. That's where the wealth of the world is in the resources.
Right.
That's why they want the resources corralled around the whole planet that would be run, if you will, as a global trust for the common global good.
Oh, I can hardly wait. That sounds very
well. So then they will start to remove the power of the politicians, then, wouldn't they?
They already have, haven't they?
Yeah.
The parties
don't look like anything like they used to. There is no distinction between one party versus the other. And I think that is globally. I mean, the politicians are just mouthpieces for the technocrats.
Well, really, they are. They're being used as the useful idiots, if you will, by the technocrats. But we see our Congress has been completely neutered by the executive branch of our nation. In particular, let's just pin the tail where it belongs. It's Obama all the way down the line. And we see spats from time to time where there's, you know, arguments between Congress and the executive branch. You can't hardly name one instance where the executive branch did not win in the last 8 years. It's been obvious.
Right.
And there's one spat going on right now that really underscores it. NOAA is fighting with Congress right now because they released a climate change report for the Paris conference that's flawed. Several of their scientists went whistleblower and called them out on it and said it wasn't ready, it wasn't what they said it was. And so Congress is trying to investigate NOAA to find out how this study got cooked, that is, cooking the books, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to subpoena some of the scientists to come in. And the head of NOAA now has told Congress, you can't touch our scientists. They're not up for
really?
Grabs.
And you're right about Congress being impotent, because if they were not, they would say, fine, you don't produce the scientists, we don't produce the funding.
That's
and
right.
This is what is not going on, and you're right, because the people are so disengaged that they have no idea that this is going on behind the scenes.
That's right. If this was 50 years ago, if what was going on today happened 50 years ago, Congress would be breaking out the handcuffs and shackles.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
They'd be issuing,
exactly.
They would be issuing arrest warrants for people in the executive branch for breaking their oath and for treason.
You're right. You're right. And the sad part of it is the people that have been born in the last 50 years and even in the last 30 years don't even realize that this is not the way it's supposed to be. And the behavioral modification or the behavior change in the behavioral pattern is that they believe that the government is supposed to be in control. And that fits right in with what you're talking about. They
That's
want to
right.
control That's, everything.
People are so consumed, young people especially, with their Twitter accounts and their smartphones and their computer games and everything else, that they don't have a clue even which direction the sun comes up in the morning. I'm sad to say, most really just don't know.
Oh, you're right. And I'm sad to say that, too. You're absolutely right. So what, okay, the technocracy is the plan to manage and control all aspects of consumption and distribution of all products.
That's right, consumption and production.
Production.
And production, for instance, if you think about sustainable development, the United Nations wants to tell manufacturers what they may and may not make. If it
right.
uses too much resources or the wrong kind of resources, you can't make that, period. And so they want to dictate to manufacturers what they're allowed to make. And secondly, they want to dictate to you to tell you what you're allowed to consume. So if you have too much grass in your front yard and you consume too much water, why, you'll get an order telling you to take out a third of your grass. That's kind of a silly example, but this has happened in California. You know, so they will tell you what you're allowed to consume. And, of course, they don't want you to consume a lot of carbon-based resources. So you can give up your gas-guzzling car. You might not be able to travel on the airplane as much as you'd like to, but you would be smiled upon if you bought an electric car, of course, or a hybrid car. Maybe give up your car altogether and take light rail or ride a bicycle to work.
Yeah. Well, it fits in then with why they would have Noah cook the books on the climate change. I mean, that makes total sense. You know, you would have to have the background and the folks from these higher, supposedly high-ed people that are scientists on the, you know, that are unquestionable, would have to be in agreement with this to move forward, and you'd have to have them spread the lie.
Well, they do, and they can't afford to have their lie being unraveled right before the Paris conference either. This would do great damage. It's already doing great damage, actually, to the Paris conference. I think people around the world are getting the idea that this is all a big hoax. In fact, there was a study, a poll just released here, I think this week, that said the population's concern about climate change is third from the bottom out of a
right.
list of about 15 different things. So nobody cares about climate change. Not one. People are concerned about jobs, the economy, terrorism, the open border, all these, you know, these terrorists come in our country. They're concerned about all these things. And meanwhile,
The president said that the reason why ISIS is as bad as they are, it's because of climate change. And if he was the leader against climate change, then ISIS would respect him and they would stop beheading people.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. They're so incredulous. I don't know anybody on the street that would really believe that, I guess, other than somebody that just basically worships Obama. Anyway. That's crazy talk.
It does. Okay, so we have this group of people that have decided that they're richer, smarter, better than all the rest of us, and that they should be telling us what to do and how to do it. And I guess Bloomberg was a perfect example when he said no, no, no to 32-ounce glasses of soda. So that is the beginning, and I guess Michelle, with her lunch wonderful lunches that she's forced on the schools, is an example of what you're talking about, where someone determines what's good for you, not you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know, I work inside of energy. I work on as an offshore group in exploration and development of oil and gas, and recognizing the attack that our industry has been under for the last 20 years. I mean, it's been just unreal attack the agencies, their policies, the EPA. The Bureau of Land Management, the fact that they don't want to lease public lands, all of the attacks that we're under. And I've always questioned, you know, the one thing when we produce oil, oil is just not used for driving a vehicle. You know, that's just gasoline is a waste byproduct of our product. Our product, I guess we make 5,000 different things that if you didn't have oil, and we will always have to have oil. I don't care if it's a technocrat in charge, a Republican, a Democrat, a communist, a socialist. There will always be a need in this day and age for crude oil for the massive amount of products that. But for the consumption, and if you're concerned about the environment, I've never been able to comprehend why it is that as clean burning as natural gas is. Why we haven't converted vehicles to natural gas? Why aren't we using natural gas to fire all of our energy producers? And Obama has really attacked the coal industry and has started to shift away from coal and going online with more natural gas. But why hasn't that push been made across the entire planet?
That's right. This kind of a monopoly requires a shortage to be created. And so most of this is creating a shortage of energy so that energy can be controlled more tightly to the remaining people to own it. For instance, this is what's behind the entire smart grid movement today around the world, where these digital meters are being installed on the sides of businesses and homes. There is no economic need for these meters. But what's driving them is the utilities say that they need to create a situation where there's a balanced load between what you consume and what they can generate.
Yeah.
Which historically, if the market grows in a given area, the utilities are supposed to go out and just put in more production, you know, get more energy online then.
Absolutely,
but,
yeah.
But now they've turned it around and say, we're going to balance the load off your back. So you have to cut back. It's not.
I think in a lot of the urban areas. I mean, I know this last summer in Houston, Texas, there were a lot of citizens that were outraged, and they are part of a smart grid, and the fact that their energy was being turned off and on at will. And no one was able to give them a logical explanation. It wasn't like there was weather damage, downlines. It was just them exercising their control over the grid, and no one was ever able to prove it. But, I mean, for the way that it was done and the time schedule that it was done, to take off entire sections of Houston, and that's a large city, and just to turn the electricity on and off, something's up.
You got something's up. Would it be appropriate, Karen, if I read the first five requirements of technocracy from 1934?
Would you please? Yes.
Please.
This is just stunning. They said there's seven things. I'm only going to give five things that were required in order to make technocracy happen. And remember, technocracy is taking over the means of production and consumption. This is what they said would have to be in place to do it. I'm just going to read five of them. Number one, quote, register on a continuous 24-hour-per-day basis the total net conversion of energy. Number two, quote, by means of the registration of the energy converted and consumed, make possible a balanced load, close quote. Let's stop with those two. There's smart grid right there.
Right.
100% of it. That's what's driving this. is to get control over the, over energy, because if you can control energy, you can control the entire population. Now listen to the last three here. Number three, quote, provide a continuous inventory of all production and consumption. Number four, quote, provide a specific registration of the type, kind, etc., of all goods and services where produced and where used. And five, quote, provide specific registration of the consumption of each individual, plus a record and description of the individual, close quote. There you have 100% of the requirement for the total surveillance society that we find ourselves in today. This is why the data is being collected.
That is absolutely right.
So here you have a left hand and a right hand going to give a one-two combination. You're going to collect data on the entire social mechanism, because it is just a big social engineering project to them. You're going to collect all the data you can get your hands on, and you're going to put a control mechanism on the energy that's produced and distributed to the economy. That's it. It's just that simple.
Wow. We're very close to this being totally implemented, aren't we?
This is it. This is what they're doing. This is what people need to see. Is this just isn't some kind of bad luck or something we had, you know? Like, well, somebody got a cockeyed idea, and yeah, you know, he got out of the wrong side of the bed, and he came in, and he hiccuped, and all, you know, we have smart grid as a result. Oh, bummer. That's not how this happened. This has been a planned, meditated policy for at least 40 years in our country, and this is what we have today. We have a total surveillance society being imposed upon us today. They're collecting everything that we do. And secondly, they're controlling energy through smart grid. And as such, they will control even all the appliances ultimately in your home or business. They'll control your thermostat. Yep. They'll control your washing machine. They'll control your oven, your dryer, all of the major appliances. They'll know everything what you do inside your home. So, you know, this is not a joke to us, but it's a game. It's an engineering game to these technocrats, because
we as humans become pawns in there. We're game pieces to them, which makes it very easy to understand why there is no real outcry when people die, because to them we could just be replaced. Humans, I guess, are irrelevant. We will only be available for our usefulness of work, I guess. And otherwise, what did they call us? They call us useless eaters. That's what they think of the people.
Well, we're useful to them as far as an economic unit is concerned, but from their perspective, they want to squeeze out the maximum amount of efficiency that they can from society. So that becomes a byword, efficiency. And as long as you are an efficient person within the technate, if you will, the society, you're okay. You're going to be a cooperative asset. But if you lose your skills, or if you get hurt and you can't, you know, you get disabled, or if you grow old and you can't, you know, you retire and you start consuming more resources than you produce, well, then you're a liability. And liabilities don't have the same ranking, of course, within this system as do the productive members of the system. You're viewed as a boat anchor, so to speak, and you'll be dealt with accordingly. And, you know, people look at, for instance, at Obamacare. Nobody in the planet believes that Obamacare is about your health. I haven't met one person to think it's really about your health. It's about the data. It's about the data that they're collecting on you and putting into the master database.
And
that's what Obamacare is all about.
That's exactly what I tell the people about Common Core. They could care less. I mean, they're the curricula that they're giving the kids is communism. They don't care about that because it puts everybody in a little box and makes them comply to the same thing. But they're more interested in those keystrokes that those kids are making on the computers.
They are.
And answering the questions.
That's right. And the 400 points of data that Common Core is collecting on every student every year multiple times, that data will stay with that student for the rest of their lives. And so if little Johnny stuck a pencil up little Susie's nose or something in the first grade, that little Johnny's employer, when he's 25, is going to read that.
Holy crap.
And say, I don't think I'm going to hire you because you sound too violent. And not only that, you're sexist. And not only that, you're an abuser. This is insanity.
This is insanity.
So it's about the data.
It is all about the data. That's really what it is.
Well, Patrick, how do you see them being able to? Because America, you know, we have a huge dependent part of our society that is totally reliant on everything that the government provides them. How do you see that shifting? And because those people are not productive, and we have a large portion of our American society that is not producing anything. You know, they're feeding on the system. Do you think that's a design to create the collapse of the economy? What do you think is most driving that?
Well, I think that probably is as good an explanation as anything. Because ultimately it will take down all of society, all of the economy eventually, because it just can't go on forever, obviously. You'd end up with one person doing all the work and 399 million, you know, sucking off of them. That just doesn't work. But I will say one thing, for all those useless people out there, useless to the economy, when push comes to shove if violence ever breaks out in our country, heaven forbid that it would. But I can tell you who's going to go first. It's going to be the useless people, at least in the eyes of the technocrats. Those are going to be the ones that will be used for depopulation because they really are a drag on society anyway. So what difference does it make?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty crazy. I'm not making any predictions, and I hope that never happens. But these people are on the bottom of the food scale, that's all, the food chain.
Well, for a technocrat, you would either have to shift them into production, and if they can't be shifted into some kind of production, then what purpose would they serve?
Well, that's about right. You know, you end up really being a slave. During World War II or the Depression, you remember you had the WPA that simply assigned work crews to everybody who's on welfare and said, you get out there and work and you go build roads and you build fences and this, that, and the other. They put everybody to work. And even though they gave them a meal or two a day, they essentially turned them into slaves and said, you will work. If you want to eat, you will work out here and you'll do what we tell you to do. They're basically chain gangs of just normal citizens that happen to be out of work and out of food.
Well,
so
there were hundreds
really
of thousands of people that was their only resource. I mean, that was they did it willingly, and I guess that was, you know, if you were looking at a social experiment, it was something that they did. I mean, look at the projects, the great infrastructure that was built during that time frame using slave labor.
Yeah, that's right.
So
I've often said, you know, even today, that as a producer, you know, with the drain of what my wealth, the fact that they have a direct tax on my labor and are able to seize a portion of my labor and distribute it as at their will, that I'm enslaved. You know, you don't like to think of yourself being enslaved, but what else can you call it?
That's right.
You're right. Patrick, what can we do to recognize where this is coming from? Because I am sure no scientist is going to the people and saying, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. What I learned when I was in school is that they integrate the media and Hollywood and the textbooks and everything to guide the people into this outcome of what they want. So what can we, the people, do knowing that this is coming?
Well, in order to get
understanding... Or knowing it's here. I shouldn't even say coming,
yeah,
it's here.
In order to get understanding, people just, they have to read a book like Technocracy Rising. There's no other book out there. There's no other material out there at this point other than what I'm throwing out. It's been validated, by the way, many times over since I've released this book. So it's
not
a question.
And it is a fabulous book. Everybody read it. You must read it. It'll be a good thing to read during Christmas. Go to Patrick's website, technocracy.news. Order his book. Sorry.
Yeah, it's available on Amazon, too, huh, Patrick?
It's on Amazon, too. You can get books on a graduated discount. For the more you buy, the cheaper it is. And I'm hoping some people will rise to the occasion and buy enough books to give one to their city mayor, to all their city council, and to all the people in the county, like the county, the planning commission. These people need to get a hold of this information. They need to be held accountable to it. But let me tell you what the Achilles heel is on this whole thing. This is obvious in a way if you remember the five requirements that I read that they wrote in 1934. One of the Achilles heels could be the smart grid. And the smart grid is getting a lot of resistance around the country even now, right, already.
Yes.
People fighting smart grid don't really know the big picture at all, but they know that they're getting sick from it. Houses are being burned because of it. The utility companies are lying to them. They're invading their privacy by, breaking in, going on to homeowners' property and stuff without permission to change these meters out. And I think there's an opportunity in America still that if we can block smart grid from being completed, we will block technocracy right down at the heel level. Am I making my point? Does it connect here? Why I say that?
Yes.
Well, it's their means of control.
Sure.
Well, it is, and if we can block it and get enough smart meters thrown off these buildings, or to get local regulations to where they can't install it, you can go down to your city council, complain enough, and get them to see this. You can get smart meters outlawed in your community, no matter what the utility says. You can,
yeah.
And communities
they
have done
that
this
in Lafayette Parish, Louisiana. And I'll tell you, it was a Tea Party organization that got behind it initially, and I promise you, they had no idea about technocracy, but they did understand that this meter was going to give the electric companies power to see inside of your home, to regulate your use and your consumption. So
that's
they
right.
did turn it around, and now they have to have they have to have your signed permission to install a smart meter. And there's a huge pushback, but that went through their parish council and passed that a citizen had the absolute right to refuse to take a smart meter.
Yes, yeah. I want to mention I'm working with a guy by the name of Josh Del Sol, who is the film producer that produced the documentary Take Back Your Power.
Oh, that was wonderful.
This came out a couple of years ago, and he's done a lot of good work to get this documentary around the country, but he's sponsoring an event coming up pretty soon where he's going to have a special viewing event where people can go to the website, or even if some people get it in a movie theater, they'll be able to go there and view it. But he's making a big renewed push to alert the nation about take back your power, how you can do it, why you need to do it, and how you can throw a monkey wrench in this. I think there's a lot of hope in this, honestly. And so that's why I'm working with Josh to help him promote this. But if anybody wants to, be a part of that or get clued into it, just go to the website takebackyourpower.net and keep your eye on it. There will be some announcements in the next few days, I believe, that will, indicate what he's going to do. But it was a very wonderful, good and a very balanced documentary. And I'll tell you what, it kind of creeps you out after you listen to it. But people need to take action on this stuff. I'd like to see, 20% of the smart meters in America today thrown off the side of their buildings and replaced with analog meters again. I think even 20% at this point would deal a fatal blow to these technocrats.
Well, we will take Josh's information and we'll send it out to everyone and tell them to please watch it. And you're absolutely right. There are things that Americans can do. There are things that individuals can do. And demanding that the smart meter be taken off your home is the first step to protecting your freedom and your rights.
That's
nobody has the when your bill is paid, nobody has the right to tell you can't have, because you have paid for a service that you have expected. And when you pay for a service, you're supposed to get that service. So nobody has the right to tell you when you can and when you can't take a bath, do your laundry, take a shower, whatever it is that you intend to do. Nobody has the right to tell you to be in your home. And yet, I have a friend that lived in Lebanon, and he said that when the first thing that shocked him the most when he came to America was the fact that we had continuous electricity. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, in Lebanon, you're only allowed to have electricity on full blast for 12 hours, and then it goes into a brownout situation where it's very, very minimal.
Yeah. There's a lot of places around the planet that are like that, Karen. Brazil, I spent a good time in Brazil, and that was one of the things that was common in Brazil. You just did not have access to just a full usage of electricity. It was regulated and controlled. Let me ask you this, Patrick. When you go into an appliance store and you see the smart appliances, those are appliances that are able to be picked up when you have a smart meter installed on your home, then that smart appliance is programmed and they're able to see the use of that appliance through the meter. Is that not correct?
That is correct. And there was a law actually passed by Congress a few years ago that mandated that all new appliances built and shipped into the United States would contain a circuit board that had that Wi-Fi circuitry on it to communicate information back and forth with a smart meter. This was a piece of legislation that was snuck through, and that's why we have all of these smart appliances today. And it may be that you can disable, in some cases, you might be able to disable that smart technology. But basically, you don't want to have a smart meter on your house in the first place. But if you do, that's right. If you do, they will be able to track information from that smart appliance without your knowledge. That's the way it's set up by default. And, a lot of people say, so what? But listen, if you were driving down the street and a cop stopped you and pulled you over and said, I want to search your car. And you said, officer, what's wrong? He said, no, there's nothing wrong. I just want to search your car. You say, well, do you have a reason to search my car? Did I do something wrong? Did I run a red light or something? No, you didn't do anything wrong, but I just want to search your car. I make it a habit to search 10 cars a day, and I just happen to pick your car. So get out of the car and open up the doors. Now, what would you say to the guy?
You have a warrant. Yeah.
You tell him to take a hike.
Yep.
I hope. You say, no, this is not the way we run in America. Get out of my face or take me to jail, and I will sue your pants off before you're done, get you fired from the force. So, but listen, when they do this smart meter stuff, they're taking data out of your home. That's your data. That's not their data. It's your data. They're taking that data out of your home. They're using it for purposes they never disclosed to you, including selling it to other manufacturers.
Yeah.
Every piece of data they take from you is up for sale, and you know, in the international market. This is stealing, and it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment against illegal search and seizure. They have no right to come into your home and take that data out without compensating you for it. Now, you know, you might say, well, look, I'll let you have my data if you pay me $200 a month. I can see somebody doing that. It would be perfectly legitimate. It would be free exchange of information for money. But they're not doing that. See, when you do advertising, you got to pay for advertising. But these people are just ripping it off. Left and right, they take it out and get economic benefit from it.
And for anybody that doesn't realize this is already happening, it's already happening in the state of Florida. Our governor, Governor Rick Scott, sells the data that is collected off of the driver's licenses.
That's
exactly what this is about, selling your personal information for somebody else's gain. And I would imagine, you know, when you go online and you say, oh, let me see what's on sale at the Kohl's today, and you click on a shirt, all of a sudden, your computer gets filled up with all these different shirts from all these other companies.
Yeah, exactly.
You might be interested in this shirt. You might be interested
right.
in that shirt.
Yeah. How does all that just automatically happen, huh? Yeah.
I would imagine that this is exactly what's going on. Gentlemen, this is fantastic. Everybody must go to Technocracy News, technocracy.news. Please, it is important. Patrick has a wonderful website. He keeps it very, very up to date, and you can see exactly what's going on. And this is staggering, but not surprising, I'm sad to say, knowing the way this crowd works and their obsession with control. This is just another, this is the facet by which they intend to control us. So this is the mechanism that they intend to use. And they're not fooling, they're not playing, so we have to stop doing that too. Anyway, gentlemen, it has been wonderful, and thank you so much for making this show as great as it is. It is at the end of our time. And Patrick, where can everybody find you, and where are you going? Are you available to speak to groups? Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
You betcha. I am available. I am available to speak. My schedule for the rest of this year is kind of full right now, but for the first quarter onwards next year, I'll be available to travel and speak. I do have just minimum requirements to do that, but it's important for me to get out and actually mix it up with real people. But the big movement's going to be on the website, technocracy.news. I recently started a podcast there as well to put really important interviews up that people can listen to. There's videos they can listen to there. They can share everything on social media themselves. They can share it on Facebook, on Twitter, and just spread this stuff around. I'll tell you what. I am shocked at the number of people that have been coming to this website since I started it 2 months ago. It's just astounding. From all over the world, too. Brazil, South America, from Africa, from China, from Europe, from United Kingdom, from Ireland. It's amazing people are coming from all over the place. So I just want people to get involved with this. We're going to make this a movement. People just need to start getting educated and getting involved.
And anytime, folks, you hear the word sustainable development, this is what this is all about. Take out sustainable development, put in the word control, and that's where it's headed.
That's exactly right.
Sustainable development only means how to control people. That's all. They don't care about you. They don't care about anything. They don't care about the environment. It is only a tool to be used to be able to control people. And
that's a pretty
sad commentary on where we're headed. So, folks, this is America, and it's up to us to make those changes. And it is up to us to make sure that we are the ones that are in control. And I know we have lost that. And I know our kids don't remember it, And I know that it is unbelievably important that you get this message to your family. And you're going to be with them on Thanksgiving. And I've seen more and more and more garbage online today saying, just make Thanksgiving sweet and don't talk about politics. Don't talk about anything stressful.
Yeah.
Well, those of you that listen to John and Karen know that when they tell you not to do something, that's exactly what you want to be doing.
Yep.
So it's
absolutely. Absolutely. Pushback.
It is Thanksgiving time, and your family is going to be with you. And nothing is more important than talking about your family and your country and your God. This is Thanksgiving. Be thankful, but be smart. And that's the American way. So on that note, I would like to read a prayer for Thanksgiving for all of us and say Happy Thanksgiving and then let John do the same. But this is an agenders prayer that we as agenders, people fighting Agenda 21, technocracy and everything else, want to share with our listeners. Father, we acknowledge you as the great creator, our holy father, and the sole source of our unalienable rights. Through your eternal love, we have the right to life. Through your boundless grace, we have the right to liberty. Through your endless mercy, we have the right to pursuit of happiness. We, your children, humbly come before you, imploring your continued divine guidance and protection in our great battle against the evil of the United Nations and their plan for a godless one-world government. We humbly come before you, asking for your holy strength and power to bear against all enemies that hate and seek to destroy America and Israel and the rest of the world. We bless Israel and ask for protection of Israel and its people. On this Thanksgiving, we give thanks to you, O God, that we are fit and able. We beseech you, O Lord, to make us once again a virtuous nation, worthy of your blessings of freedom. We ask for your holy power to intervene and to save this great land for our family and future American generations. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. There's one other thing that I want to add before I let John say everything. When you're together with your family and after you say the prayer, take out the Bill of Rights and go around the table and read those 10 rights and remember that this is America, and this is what you're fighting for. Thank you all for joining us. John, it has been wonderful as always. Patrick, it is fantastic. Thank you both. And John, I will give the mic to you.
Okay. Well, Karen, you know, I think the prayer says it all. We are a people of a God, and that is our power. The source of our power, our freedoms, our liberty is from God and not government or governance or any man or any group of men. Stand in your freedom. Be thankful that we do live in the greatest nation on the planet. We are an exceptional people. We have, as Patrick has enlightened us this evening, not only did he share with us the evil that is upon us, but he offered solutions. And it's up to us then, as Americans, to stand, get involved, and take action. We are in control, and be thankful for that, because we still, in this nation, have that right to speak and to be heard, and share that with your family. Stand up for your freedom. Stand up and respect what freedom truly means, and all of those that have fought for our freedom across this nation and all across this planet. Let's don't forget them in our Thanksgiving prayers. Our servicemen and women are a huge portion and a huge part of why we have the freedom to turn back this evil and this tyranny. And I trust that we will. Patrick, thank you so much, not only for your conversation on technocracy, but the big thing is that you offered us a great solution. So let's get behind the solution and let's turn this around.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Patrick.
Yes. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Happy Thanksgiving especially to our servicemen. John is so right. Let us never forget the service that they provide us for without them, we wouldn't be having dinner. Thank you all for joining us. This is Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks from American Freedom Watch Radio, brought to you live on bbsradio.com. Please visit our website. Get the podcast off the website and go and share this with as many people as you can. This is such an important message. Thank you all for listening, and Facebook us at American Freedom Watch Radio. See you again in 2 weeks.
Good night.
Good night.